We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you have given us for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you will open the treasures which are hidden in it to us and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Going back to where it all started, in the Garden of Eden. And Adam rebelled against God, and the whole world was put under the curse. But there was a promise given, as God spoke to the serpent. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so from the very beginning, the earth has been filled with wars. And the main one is between God and the devil. And there have been many, many battles. Armies have fought, been killed. But it finally boils down to two. There are two battles that have been fought on this earth that overshadow all the rest of them. And the oddity is that these two battles were not fought with thousands and thousands of soldiers. Each battle was a one against another. Two on the field of battle. One will live, the other will die. Both battles are really the same. And the beauty of it is that we have a divine record by the Holy Spirit of each of these two battles, which are so important to us. We're going to look at what the Holy Spirit tells us about each one of these two battles and then go back and do a little searching and bring out a few extra points. But the two main battles. Battle number one, David and Goliath. If God came down to me and gave me the choice of going back into the Old Testament and being able to witness anything I wanted that enveloped in the Old Testament, I would choose the David and Goliath battle. And the Holy Spirit records it this way. And then, by the way, as we will look ahead here, the first battle was won with a stone. The second battle was won with mere words. So, number one, David versus Goliath. And he took his staff in hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. The reason why he chose five was because one was for Goliath, and Goliath had four brothers. So there was a stone for each one of them, too, as history unfolded. So he took five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath thereof and slew him. Killed him with his own sword. And he cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now, this battle unfolded a long time ago, about the year 1063 B.C. So now and we're going to take a little bit more detail look in a few minutes. But now we go to the second battle. And that second battle is between Jesus Christ and the devil. And so David and Goliath was a type of Jesus and the devil, which is the anti-type or the fulfillment of it. So then cometh Jesus. Now we're in Matthew 3 and 4 different verses. And then cometh Jesus from Galilee unto Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, remember now, this is the Holy Spirit talking. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightly out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. This gets back to Garden of Eden, doesn't it? And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. So God had already said, This is my beloved Son. Now the devil said, Well, if that's really true, if God's really telling the truth, then you're hungry. You've been out here for 40 days and 40 nights without anything to eat. And if God really is your Father, like it claimed, then command that these stones be made bread so you've got something to eat. But Jesus, he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And there's a lot of people down there watching. It's going to be a big deal. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Oh, yeah. All these things will I give unto thee. Oh, no, you won't. You're a liar. These things don't belong to you at all, like you claim that they do. The devil is a liar and the father of it, and started way back in the Garden of Eden. God has said we shall surely die. No, you won't. God's telling a lie. God is a liar. You shall not surely die. If you eat of the forbidden tree, God is trying to keep something from you. He lied. And it's the same thing he's trying against Jesus. You see, all these kingdoms and all the glory, these all belong to me, is what he's saying. And I'll give you all these things. All you have to do is fall down and worship me. It's so easy. Do it the easy way. They're mine. I'll give them to you. No, you won't. They're not yours. They belong to God. The devil is a liar and the father of it. Remember that. We've got to remember that. Okay, so then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. Save him. So then the devil leaveth him. He had to obey Jesus. Jesus said, get out of here. And the devil got out of there. And after that, the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So God did it. There is a very important thing here. In the business world, there's a motto. If you want to build a good business, you've got to have the right location. Location, location, location. And so the context of when things happen is always very important. So we've got two battles here. When did the first battle take place? The battle that was won by a shepherd boy with a sling and a stone. Where did this take place? And not only that, but when? Answer, it took place very shortly after David was anointed by the prophet at the command of God. And very shortly after that, David was faced with a powerful foe, the giant Goliath. First, the anointing, then the battle. So we look at the New Testament, the fulfillment of the David and Goliath battle. When did that take place? It took place when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and the heavens were opened, and there were witnesses to this, and the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus and abode on him, stayed with him, and a voice came from heaven, which was the voice of the Father, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is a tremendous thing. What happened right after that? He went out into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. And whereas David slew Goliath with a sling and a stone, All Jesus needed to kill the devil and send him away was the spoken word, the word of God. And this, now looking at Jesus, he's true man and true God. The baby in the manger of Bethlehem was the Almighty Son of God, but now he was a true human being. He's our brother. It's like the ladder that Jacob saw. It was rooted on the earth, but it reached up into heaven. And so the earthly part of Jesus, he got from his mother. She gave birth to him the same way she did, and any mother did to anybody else. And a little baby was born, it was a human being. But at the same time, God was his father. And this was witnessed to. And now Jesus has to confront the devil. As we've tried to point out so often as we're going through this, and really, this really summarizes the whole Bible that I never really realized to this extent before. No matter where you go, this is your story and mine. And there's a lesson here, a very valuable lesson. The older members of our congregation have had this happen, and they know it's true. The little ones can learn from the experience of the older ones and be ready for it when it happens to them. What's the big point? The point is this. Whenever the Holy Spirit gives you a great spiritual blessing, the devil right away is going to try to take it away. This happens over and over and over again. And it's valuable for us to know this. We are not ignorant of his devices. We know how the devil works. The game plan has been mapped out for us by the Holy Spirit in Scripture. And one of the big deals in the game plan of the devil is whenever a child of God gets a great spiritual blessing, try and take it away. This happens over and over and over again. And it's valuable to know that, because if you do know that, after the Holy Spirit has richly blessed you, and it can happen in a lot of different ways, but one of the greatest ways is to reveal treasures which are hidden in Scripture to you that many times the scribes didn't know it. They were the seminary professors of the day. They thought they knew Scripture very well. They were teachers of it, but they didn't get it. And so as soon as you are given a great blessing from the Holy Spirit, and it can happen in a lot of different areas, but mainly in understanding the Word of God, as soon as that happens, you better be ready for something. The devil's going to try to take it away. And once you know that, it strengthens your faith. The devil doesn't want you and I to grow in grace and the knowledge of the precious Word of God. The power is always in the Word. And you saw that when Jesus fired three passages to the devil, and the devil had to leave. The devil can't stand around when the Word of God is there. That's why he fights against it. So it's encouraging when you have a trial right after you've been given a great spiritual blessing. You can see the hand of the devil in that, but remember, it was the Spirit that drove Jesus out into the wilderness. And so the Heavenly Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are going to be with you and get you out of your trial. You will have a Goliath in your life, but you'll slay him. And you will have the devil in your life, but you'll slay him too. That's the real point. So Getting back now for a few of the details of the, but these are the two main battles between David and Goliath and Jesus and the devil. And when Jesus defeated the devil after the three times of temptation, the battle was over. A few things had to be played out yet, but the battle was over. And so we think of something like Acts chapter 13, verse 22, and I'm going to be jumping around here a little bit to try and do some of the details that we didn't cover yet. So when he, that's God, had removed him, that's Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom he also gave testimony and said, now this is what God is talking about concerning David. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. Saul was not a man after God's own heart. He was a human king. They chose him and they paid the price for it. Now this is God's choice. He's a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Okay, David wasn't perfect either. We know the story of David and Bathsheba and the killing of Uriah. We know that it was a sin, but it was confessed and forgiven. But by and large, even though he sinned, just like we all do, he was chosen of God. So 1 Samuel 17, verse 15 says this, and we covered this some of this last week, that David was sent by God at the command of Saul when Saul was having trouble and was bothered and concerned and depressed. David came and played the harp for him and undoubtedly sang psalms for him, and Saul, the spirit went away. So then Saul wanted David to stay with him, and so Jesse allowed it. But there's something else that happened here. 1 Samuel 17, verse 15 states that David went back and forth from Saul. He didn't stay in the kingdom with Saul in the palace. He went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Why did he do that? This is why. David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's flock at Bethlehem. So even though he was king, he hadn't been legally installed yet, but at the same time, he was the shepherd. And when his brother criticized him, why are you out here? You came out to watch the fight. What's happening to the flock back there, that little flock? What's happening with them? Well, David had a keeper that was with the flock when he did go to Saul. But as soon as Saul was cured, David went back to Bethlehem to be with the sheep. That's what the Holy Spirit says. David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's flock. And the tending of his father's flock of sheep was a lot more important than playing the harp for Saul. That's how it was. This verse highlights David's responsibility as a shepherd. How could he do it? Well, you know, Bethlehem was only about 4 or maybe 5 miles away from Jerusalem. It wasn't that long. I used to go fishing with my dad, and we'd park the car and walk up the railroad tracks, and he had a certain place he liked to fish, and it was 3 miles up the tracks. We could easily walk that in 45 minutes. And Bethlehem being only 4 or 5 miles from Jerusalem, David could easily come and go, come early in the morning, leave later, and then go back. It was not hard at all, location. So the Philistines gathered together to make war, and Goliath enters the stage. Goliath is a type of the devil. So we listen now to what he's got to say. And the Holy Spirit gives it to us word for word. This is so precious. Okay, we're in 1 Samuel 17, starting with verse 4. Okay, there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines. He's the chief honcho, the captain, leader of the whole army, named Goliath of Gath. Remember that, Gath. There's a reason for that. Whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Remember, Saul was higher than everybody. He was tall. He was at least a head above everybody else. That's one of the things that the people liked about him. Well, here was a giant. He was taller than everybody. Everybody looked up to him. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head. So if he got hit from the top, it wasn't going to hurt him. He was armed with a coat of mail. And a coat of mail would reject any arrow that was shot at him. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Anybody else could hardly even lift it up. He wore it. He wore it. He was strong. Okay. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs. So they were covered. He's covered from head to toe. There's no way he could be beaten. And a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. Well, you wouldn't want to get hit by that. The spear's head. And he could wield it. And he had one yielding shield, bearing a shield, goes before him. So he also had a bodyguard. He had everything he needed. He was the champion, heavyweight champion of the world. And you know, in our country, it used to be when I was little especially, it's still that way, but when I was really little, they had a lot of boxing going on, and they had different weight divisions. And the greatest one was the heavyweight champion of the world, the ones that weighed the most. The two guys that were the biggest, the fastest, the strongest, and they walked into the ring, and one was going to win, and the other was going to lose. One was going to be knocked out, and the other would be the winner. So here you've got Goliath coming down, heavyweight champion of the world. Philistines are watching. The army of Israel is watching. And so then he stood, Goliath, and cried unto the armies of Israel and said to them, they were close enough, they could hear, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? You don't have to fight. Choose a man to do it for you. You know, he was right in a certain way. Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. Let's do it one-on-one. We'll save a lot of lives that way. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants. And the Philistine said, I defy, he's issuing a challenge. I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together. And so what did the king of Israel do? The one whom the children of Israel chose and deposed God off the throne. We want a human king like the other, like the heathen has. Somebody that can go out to battle for him. So what did Saul do? Go on to fight Goliath? No. What did he do? When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Okay, so I'm going to, before we get into the next point, point out some of the things that show clearly how accurate the Holy Spirit is when he wrote Scripture. There's a book that's been written out, I've mentioned it before, Scriptural Coincidences. Things that seem to be unimportant, but when you look at them, they're very important. And what we're talking about here is that it says that Goliath came from the city of Gath. Gath! Okay, now, when you look at, for one thing, you look at the armor. Well, back up once. There was Joshua, in Joshua 11, verse 22, he killed off a lot of the giants. When the children of Israel sent spies into the Holy Land to check it out, they came back and they were afraid of two things. Number one, the cities had walls that reached up into heaven, which is a little bit of a stretch. That's what the real enemy of God tried to do down at and build the Tower of Babel, Nimrod the rebel. But anyway, so the number one, they're big cities and the walls are high. Number two, they're giants in the land. And they're big and they're strong and they're powerful. And we're like grasshoppers in their sight and in our sight. So you send these big giants out to kill a grasshopper, what chance are we going to have? That was their argument. And, okay, but Goliath was from Gath. Now, you look at Joshua chapter 11, verse 22. There was none of the Anakims left. The Anakims are the giants. In the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod, there remained some giants. You see how that fits in? David killed a lot of them, but there were still some in Gath. Holy Spirit knows what he's writing about. This is exciting. Okay, so you look at Goliath coming out, and the David and Goliath story is still really important in our own day. Every time in the football game, if there's a team that's not very good or haven't won a game yet for 3 years, and they're playing a team that hasn't lost a game for 3 years, and the other little team wins, it's a David and Goliath thing. But they misimply that. Their implication is that David never had a chance against a Goliath, but somehow he won anyway. That's not the point. The point is Goliath never had a chance. This was a mismatch from the very beginning. Goliath never had a chance. Why not? Because he was fighting with instruments that a man had made. Human instruments. That's what the children of Israel wanted. Horses and chariots of iron. Chariots of iron. 600 of them Pharaoh had. Sisera had 900 of them. That's what we want. We want to fight with chariots. Man-made things. Well, that's what Goliath was doing. He trusted in human weapons. And he was going against a shepherd that trusted in God. Goliath never had a chance. He never had a chance. And we read also that for 40 days, every morning and every night, or evening, Goliath went out and challenged the children of Israel. 39 days in a row, so they had time to figure this out. The outcome was always afraid. They're scared half to death. So now the 40th day, 40 in Scripture is a very important number. It's a number of decision making. You got one final chance, Israel, one final chance. This is a day number 40. So I challenge you one more time. And this time, there was a shepherd there and heard the challenge. And you know the rest of the story. So, one thing we have to remember, a few things just to kind of wrap this up a little bit. The importance of being with God alone. And when you were a shepherd in those days, you were out there with the flock, a lot of times alone. And the good shepherd did that oftentimes. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went out into the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer. Praying to God. The moment, the precious moment that you have, we'll call it your prayer closet, to be alone with God. And we can do that. Every one of us can do that if we really want to. It's got to be a priority. And giving God first fruits doesn't only count giving the first fruits of your money. That might be a part of it. But more important is giving first fruits of your time. Your time belongs to God. And you know, you or I don't know how much of it we have left. So first fruits, that's what counts. That's what Jesus did. And we're supposed to follow in his footsteps. And that's what David did. And it specifically says that David rose up early. I'm in 1 Samuel 17, verse 20. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper when he had to go and play the harp for Saul. Who was the keeper? Who was the keeper? Can you guess? There was one time a certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and was caught by the thieves, and they beat him to half to death and left him laying dying in the roadway. A certain man going from Jerusalem, the city of God, to Jericho, the city of the curse. And the certain man was Adam. We looked at that. He was left there half dead. His body was alive after he rebelled against God in Eden, but his soul was dead, and he couldn't face God. But then a certain Samaritan came along, and he saw the man that was dying, or he closed up the wounds, put him on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and then when he left, he gave the innkeeper, I wonder who that would have been, some money, or gave him a command, said, if there's anything that the man needs, give it to him, and when I return again, I'll repay you. The innkeeper was the Holy Spirit, type of the Holy Spirit. So that's what you have here. David didn't just desert the flock. He wouldn't do that. He went and he left the sheep with a keeper. And then he went into the city, played the harp, came back, and then took control of the flock again. So, promises. John 15:26. The disciples are depressed. Jesus is going to ascend into heaven. He's not going to be with them anymore. They're depressed. And he said to them, I'm going to send you a comforter, capital C. When the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. You got the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit involved in all of this. Whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit, capital S, of truth. which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Nevertheless, now John 16, verse 7, nevertheless I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Right now we have the first fruits of the Spirit. The first fruits of the Spirit is revealing things to us. You always, rule number one, whenever you start to pray, to study Scripture, you always pray for the Holy Spirit. He'll open things to you. That's the promise. And rule number two is never forget rule number one. It works. It works. That's the main lesson of the story. So Goliath came out with a sword and spear and a shield using human weapons. He never had a chance. I come to you in the name of the Lord. And all it took was a little smooth stone. That's all it took.